Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, let's go. We're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN on a smooth Thursday. That's what it's going to be. It's what Smooth says. What Smooth says it's going to be. It's what it's going to be. This July 24th edition of the show. Hopefully you're having a smooth one so far. And listen, there's plenty to talk about. I know some people like to say it's thin around here. Kind of heard that as you go out, you know, you get tapped in. You know how wrestling, and we'll be talking about some wrestling, obviously, speaking of a legend. But you know how you get tapped in, John? John's done some wrestling. He's watched some wrestling. Yeah. Tag team, you tag each other. It's kind of how we do show to show around here.
That's right.
As we were tagged in, I was kind of, hey, a little slow out there today. A little slow in the sports world.
Is that the warning?
We kind of let each other know, you know, hey, it's a little hot in there, you know. You know, you kind of do that show to show. And although it might be, let's remember, we have American Media Days today.
That's right.
How about give it a round of applause, Brad? Don't call it the AAC. You hear that?
Yeah, I hear it. That's sore right there.
That is the sound of sore. And that is what Ryan Silverfield and the Tigers hope to do this season.
Amen.
Proud members of the American.
Man, that's going to be the theme of the show today, right? Is the real Americans.
As you know.
I am a real American.
This is our home. I see what you over there doing, Thunder Lips.
Yeah, rest in peace to Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea. In many ways, you know, a pioneer of professional wrestling. This is an interesting one to talk about. We'll do that in just a little bit. But yeah, the news. I mean, it feels like every single day we come into this show, somebody dies. First, it was Malcolm Jamal Warner, who we got some details about that. By the way, it was a rip current. It was not him. I don't know the details, the particulars, right? So all we hear is that he's on a family trip and he drowned. So I assume like he let his guard down, you know, and sadly drowned because he had a couple of drinks, whatever. Well, it turns out it's even more tragic. He got caught in a rip current. And his daughter. And it sounds like the daughter was rescued and he was not. Mm-hmm. And that's not like I've never been caught in one of those, but it's also why I don't go into the ocean. I don't swim in the beach. Yep. I'll go to the beach and I will swim in the pool at the hotel. I will not go to the beach.
Lost Malcolm, lost Ozzy.
We lost Ozzy yesterday, and now this morning we lose Hulkamania. Hulk Hogan, 71 years old.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, so we'll get into all that today here on the show. 11:25, Drew Hill's going to join us.
Okay.
We'll talk to him about the Memphis Grizzlies. They're officially in offseason mode for the first time. You know, I mean, they had draft, they had summer league. They had some trades. This is like finally they've taken off. They're cruising. They're in their off season, and we won't really, I assume, hear a ton until September when they get ready to go to training camp. That would be my guess. But anyway, we will talk to Drew Hill about all that and more. Maybe we'll get his thoughts on, you know, Memphis football and Memphis in the Big East, and because he has sort of a neutral view there. He has no emotional attachment to either program. I like talking to people who have no emotional attachments to the program because
right.
sometimes feels like it's the most sober view.
And trying to win them over.
Exactly.
That's what, yeah.
Exactly. So we'll talk to Drew about the events of the last week with the Big 12 and where Memphis needs to go and all those things at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Anthony Sain is going to join us. We're moving him up a day. He's going to join us at 1:25, and we'll continue those conversations. I know he had some things to say about sort of Memphis pessimism and, you know, Memphis hope and all those things. And, you know, it certainly has kind of been at the forefront this week with everything going on. So we'll talk to him about all those things at 1:25. So that is the show today. The Ja 3s continue to be rolled out colorway by colorway. I mean,
can I buy these things?
I don't think you can buy them yet, but they're like teasing them.
They're still selling twos, right?
Yeah. But like some,
I'm very smart.
Some are saying they're like the best bat. They might be the best basketball shoe in 2025, 26. Some are saying.
We could use it.
I'm sitting across.
Our shoe could use it.
I'm sitting across from a man who sort of made it, who very much voted with his feet.
Well, I sat out the twos, but Son got the Kool-Aid ones.
Got it.
So we do have a pair.
Got it.
We got a bunch of pairs of ones, and yes. I'm sure Son will be back for three, particularly if it's the best one.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe we'll get you back. Maybe we can get you back. And also, I would be remiss if I did not give my baby brother, Jeremy, a happy birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, here on the Jeremy.
Show. I think he's 29.
Oh, you should know.
29, and next year's the 30. Yeah. And then I'll have to do something for him for his 30th. But yeah, out there busting his butt at Sunrise GMC. So appreciate Jeremy for being born. He's a great brother. All right, we have a lot to get to on the show today. Let's do a little thing we call over under.
Yeah, it seems like every day there's something breaking.
There's someone dying is what's happening.
Well, you get us dying because we're not in the Big 12.
The Big 12 hopes died Monday. Malcolm Jamal Warner died Tuesday. Ozzy died Wednesday, and then Hulk Hogan died Thursday.
It's pretty grim, it seems like.
Pretty
all right,
crazy.
We're going to get to Hogan here in a second in this edition of the Jason and John Over and Under. Let's start out with Memphis football, since it is the media time and everybody's talking about it. Even Justin Fuente has high expectations for this Memphis football team, as he pointed out on y'all's show this week. Memphis football finish in order of first to last. We're going to give it a 2.5 over-under setting.
Real quick. First day of American Media Days today. Two-day event. We know we will not have a poll.
Oh, that's right.
And as John and I have talked about, well, we're not just going to dismiss things
right.
and not put expectations on teams just
Thank
because
you.
There's no preseason poll in the conference. What we're going to do is look at the betting odds and everything else and
yep.
try and determine ourselves, because what we're not going to do is just completely throw
right.
away. Throw
Hold
out
the standard.
Account
Hold
and
the
accountability.
Standard.
Right?
That's right.
All right. So as of John, and I don't know what you're, you know, using most these days,
mm-hmm.
but I'm looking at FanDuel.
Okay.
And as of right now, Memphis has got +550 odds to win the conference. Those would be the fourth shortest.
Okay.
It's Tulane, UTSA, Navy at +470 before you get to Memphis at +550. Now, at comparing that to what, again, whatever's your favorite, maybe that'd be the a better thing to do here rather than just taking one, but at least one, FanDuel's got them fourth right now.
Yep.
In terms of odds.
Yeah, and I think you could go, like, you know, depending on the I mean, FanDuel's a good sort of consensus, I think. But you'll find some that have them third. You'll find some mm-hmm. that, you know,
remember
FanDuel's
you talked about
fourth.
A third.
Yeah, I think they're
point.
Fourth. It's third at Caesars, but fourth at FanDuel. I think consensus they're about, if you want to take sort of split the middle, 550, 450, we can call them 5-1 to win okay. the American, right, which I'm fine with.
And South Florida's +650, not to interrupt, but South Florida's +650, Army's +900. But
yeah.
that South Florida, what you've read is that, you know, many believe there are four or five teams that
right.
could finish first this year.
Right.
South Florida's been among those in
yes.
some of those lists. And so, again, it, you know. It's maybe as wide open as it's been just in terms of that.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know? Oh, yeah. And I think it is. I mean, because there's no team that really – I mean, I think Navy's the only one that's bringing back is Hugh B. I mean, I guess South Florida is, but they're not coming off some great year.
Tulane just got theirs in, even though we
right.
like him from BYU.
Right.
He's just getting there.
Rest laugh.
And Memphis is obviously in transition.
Yeah.
Year.
So Army's having to replace Daly.
What UTSA brought their QB back.
Oh, that's right. UTSA brought their, yes.
According to FanDuel, they have the second best odds
right.
to win.
And I guess that's a big part of it.
All about their offense.
Yeah. I like this because obviously the American cowered and said we're not going to do, I mean, most, they're just following other places' lead. But believe me, it's all rooted in being a coward, that we don't want to have these expectations put on these coaches so they get referred back to in December. You know, you fell short or, you know, it's always you fell short. It's never you overachieved, right? But it's all in this through the lens of being afraid. But they are not doing it. And so I think it is important to use the market as a gauge here. Because again, like people are putting money behind this and there are traders who are paid to sort of price these things. And so I think it's a pretty accurate, more often than not, gauge of what Memphis expectations should be this season. I think they need to finish second. Because like you just talked about, I mean, yeah, UTSA and South Florida are bringing back their quarterbacks, but they're not coming off these decorated years. I mean, maybe they take the step towards that, but they were very much underachieving at various points last year. Tulane's reloading. Now, you know, maybe they will, but, you know, I think there's no excuse to lose to Navy back-to-back years, especially getting that game here at home. I think you take the home schedule, who you don't have to play this year.
Right.
I mean, what would be the excuse for Memphis not to finish in the top two of this league with the schedule that they have?
Well, and the advantage you have playing the tougher teams at your place.
Right.
You said there's a scheduling break there.
Right.
All the tougher games are at Simmons Bank.
I mean, I know that they're having to replace Seth Hennigan as the, you know, as the record-setting quarterback. I understand that. But you didn't finish in the top two with him. So he couldn't have been that good. I mean, right? Yes. Either he wasn't that good or you weren't that good. There was a misconnection somewhere.
Clarify something for me. Is this over under at 2.5 what they're going to finish or what they should finish?
Well,
what are you? What
oh, yeah, it's what they will.
Okay.
I'm going to say they finish second. I'm going to say that the schedule and the league is that soft for them this year that they will play in the American Championship game.
You don't believe that while some might say it's wide open 5-6 teams, you don't believe there's a dominant team in here.
I do not.
Memphis, right,
I do not.
That there are 2 or 3, 4 dominant teams.
Yeah,
that,
because, I mean, Navy is probably has the inside track, and they're an option team. You know, are they really going to do what they did a year ago? I mean, God bless if they do. They might. But I can't pick a damn option team again.
Memphis has had the 10th and 12th best offense in the country, according to SP Plus rankings, the last 2 years, and has not made
Crazy.
The title game. Is that offense going to be better this year?
It won't be better.
Not necessarily that it has to be. But
could it be in the realm of that? I think it could be a top 25 offense. Why not? I
mean, the continuity that what they you know, it's
yes.
a
yeah,
quarterback
no,
that
fair.
May be in the NFL. I haven't checked on Seth lately, but there's a good chance he makes it with Jacksonville, right? I
mean, but
that,
look,
that's part of that.
You're bringing back DeRozier. You're bringing back Sutton Smith. I mean, you're still bringing back some very relevant pieces on this offense.
All new receiving.
That's fair, and that's why they're not picked to win this thing. I mean, if they did have those things, they'd probably be the favorite.
Well, the way you can take a step back and still do what you're supposed to, and I would be on that side, John. Don't get me wrong. Is you improve a defense that's basically been 80th under the 5 years of Ryan Silverfield, who was 80th last year.
Exactly.
111th the year before that. I mean, that's been the side Ryan can't get licked.
Exactly.
5 years of not making a conference title game, it's really been defensively is the reason why he hasn't been able to get in and getting that side of the ball licked. That's how you offset maybe taking a little bit of a step back from losing what could be an NFL quarterback that you have for 4 years in Seth Hennigan. I like Brendan Lewis and what he brings in terms of this new wrinkle to the offense for Cramsey, who last 2 years with Seth Hennigan, great. Again, top 10 offense, basically.
Yep.
So I'm eager to see what they're going to do with it, the new wrinkles. Here, I'll go back to this. It's where they should finish.
Right.
I'm hesitant. I'm hesitant to put Memphis in a title game it's never made
when
it has a brand new quarterback and it was picked first last year and didn't get it done, finished fourth.
Yeah.
Now, but where I'm with you and where I'm comfortable is that, listen, why should Tulane get the benefit of the doubt every year when they've got a new quarterback coming in, still picked first, right? New coach, what's this, Summerall's second season, still up there at the top. We've said this should be Memphis. Forget fourth, where Vegas has got you. You should be in the top two. You should be ahead of Navy. You should certainly be ahead of UTSA, which doesn't have a – whatever your number is, I'm going with Traylor, whatever. He says you got a ton more. We know that's the case, whether it's a sixth, whatever else, in terms of what they got. Forget that. You should be above them. But no, I'm gonna go. Would it be under if you're finishing third?
It would be over.
Yeah, I'm gonna go over here because it hasn't been done.
Well, I mean,
and
look,
I want to see. Should it be there? Yes.
I'm the Memphis football fan on the show, and so I will gladly lean into that. And so I will say that they do it.
That's a high level of optimism.
I just, it's honestly more about the schedule that they kind of have been gifted. I would be extremely disappointed if they weren't at least in the mix, right? if they weren't
in
the mix to be in the.
I mean, you lost two games in conference last year. You know, you were in the mix until you lost it to UTSA. You were in the mix all season long,
right?
Even with the loss to Navy.
I mean,
they can be in the mix and be sitting outside.
I mean, you got to.
They shouldn't be sitting outside the conference title.
I mean, you're probably starting the 5-0, right? I mean, because you have at FAU, Tulsa at home, at UAB, then you get South Florida at home, then you go to Rice. I mean, I just, if they lose two games in that 5-game span, it is, I hate to use the word, but it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable to lose two games between FAU, Tulsa, UAB, South Florida, and Rice.
That's fair.
And then you get Tulane at home, which obviously we know will be a coin flip. Memphis will be like a -1 favorite. Mm-hmm. And then they have to go to East Carolina, who should be better than they've been the last few years. And that's there, and that's going to be tough. But then you close at home against Navy. I mean, I think two losses probably gets you in. I hope it gets you in. I know it didn't last year.
Mm-hmm.
But that was an uncharacteristically great year for the American.
Well, Army got a cakewalk of a schedule.
That's right. You, to me, you got the Army schedule because you avoided them. You avoided UTSA.
Army didn't play, felt like, any of the top dogs. You're still playing the top dogs. You still just get them.
Best team,
you get them here, right? That's the difference.
I think the best team Army played last year was maybe North Texas.
It was a welcome to the American schedule. Right. We're going to give you guys as easy a transition year coming in here as we can.
Yeah.
And they capitalized on that. Where yes, you're right. It's broke the right way for you in terms of the top ones, Tulane, all of them. South Florida's at Simmons Bank, but you know, you don't get UTSA. That may end up coming back. If UTSA is good, that may end up coming back to not be a good thing.
You might want to.
Because, I mean, they're second here at FanDuel.
No, you're right.
Shortest odds. So that one might come back. But all the rest of them that you do is at Simmons Bank, still get the top dogs, which the Army didn't get last year in that run they had.
So, okay.
Easy.
So where do you have them?
I'm saying they finish third to fourth, that they're outside of it, where the odds have them, as opposed to this hope that you have that Ryan Zofield with his brand-new team, basically.
Yeah, I'm hoping, bro.
You got a couple running backs we recognize. One of them hadn't played due to injury, but we recognize him. You know, we've long held that he's going to be great whenever he plays Sutton Smith.
Right.
I love DeRozier.
Yeah.
But everything else is brand new.
No, I mean, that you're right.
Everything.
I'm hoping that it's enough to be second in a league that I don't think much of. It's kind of where I'm at. Because I think all the other teams you could like say the same thing for, right? Like outside of UTSA and USF, who were, you know, sort of middling last year anyway. Tulane's going to have that same problem. Army's going to have that same problem. So I'm just hopeful that, you know,
I hope you're right.
Memphis has a little bit more in the cupboard, but we don't know. We don't know. So I'm just going to be optimistic, and you're
going
to take the more realistic side.
You're going
side.
Under, which Sophie appreciate. I'm going over.
And they're probably going to finish third.
Yeah, I think that's right.
They're probably going to finish.
I mean, we've never made the conference title game, so the history's on my side, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Brendan Lewis has not won games.
No, I think what Ryan Silverfield has done an amazing job of is doing just enough to make you have a weird conversation about it.
Yeah.
So it will be third.
I think that's about right.
And then we're going to be like,
last year was tied for third.
Yeah, I mean,
even
though we call it
fourth.
Yeah.
They're picked to win. We call it fourth because they lost to the
and they
third.
Were tied, they were tied for third, and they didn't play.
It was fourth to me.
Yeah. But, like, you know, that was enough because it was 11 games. And we're like, what do we do with this? And now they're going to finish third in 2025 with a new-look quarterback and a new-look system. We're going to say, what do we do with this? I mean, right. you had to replace everything, but you finished third, but third in the American means what to who? You know, I mean, I think that's – So I think that Silverfield's an expert in putting people in uncomfortable positions when it comes to these things. So I'm very much expecting third, hoping for second though, because I can at least say championship game appearance, moving in the right direction. This is where it has to be. But you're going to get third, and you're going to like it.
Well, he's going to get
an extension.
He's going to get an extension. I think 2 years.
Automatic extension. It's an automatic extension.
It's crazy. Laughing all the way to the bank, man. I got to say. All right, what's next?
The American, we go to basketball, and the Memphis basketball American wins this season, number we've set at 14.5 over under for Memphis Hoops.
So we got the pairings yesterday.
Oh, yeah, we got the full schedule here. Yeah,
not quite the full schedule. We just know who they're playing, which is, you know, we can.
Some of those AAC
matchups
teams
for the American. Exactly. I gotcha. Very good.
We can start to kind of put the puzzle pieces together.
Very good.
Listen.
16-2 last year.
16-2 last year. I think in terms of you know, the pairings this year, you only have to play East Carolina, Tulsa, and Rice there. That's amazing. That's like the three teams. If I could pick, I would say those are the three teams I don't want to play twice.
100%.
UTSA, I think, that might be in there too, like one time. Yeah, home only is Temple, UTSA, and Charlotte. Away only is Tulsa, East Carolina, and Rice. So those are your one-time opponents. And then your home and away is Tulane, South Florida, UAB, Wichita State, Florida Atlantic, and North Texas. So, you know, while some people will say, Memphis has to have the hardest schedule in America.
And will have asked for it. They want the most opportunities, decent to good, because you can't say great opportunities in the American, as possible.
That's exactly right.
And you tell the commissioner to give it to us, because, frankly, you're their flagship. You're the only thing that you can't even look at UAB square in the face and say we can depend on you in basketball at this point, if you were the commissioner. And so they have to give you that schedule.
Yes. So 14.5. I mean, right now I looked it up. If you were using Torvik's projections, you still only have one quad one opportunity, and that would be at South Florida. Mm-hmm. So I would say over. I mean, I'd say 15-3, 14-4. Well, I guess 14-4 would be under.
Are we counting this team with Sincere Parker or not?
I am pricing him in. Okay. I'm assuming he is in. That makes the exercise
easier at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think 15-3 is probably. It's. I think you're on it. It's going to be the range is to me 13-15. Mm-hmm. That's the range. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you think they underachieve, you'd obviously go under and 13-14. But I think Penny kind of showed you some growth. Like he showed you last year, he can get focused for this. He can get his team focused for this. So I'm going to say they go 15-3.
This is the one where I'll go over based on your reasoning for football. It's so bad. Yeah, that's it. I mean, you're going to have the best roster by default because of what you're spending on basketball.
Yep.
And whether I'm going to go ahead and say whether Cincinnati Parker's playing with Doug McDaniels, your starting backcourt or not.
Yep.
I still just feel like you are head and shoulders so much better than the rest of this league. Because of what you pay for this roster and because of the coach that Penny Hardaway has shown us, you know, once he's between the lines that he is, particularly as it relates to this conference, he was, you know, picked second last year. You finished first. You did what you're supposed to do. As far as we were concerned, win both the regular season title, the conference title. So those are the guys you give the benefit of the doubt to coming back. This is where we say Memphis football should be. And so absolutely I would go over here and based on, you know, this is the really bad side of the AAC.
Yeah.
AAC basketball.
Yeah.
Memphis, ultimately the cream will rise to the top.
Yeah.
I could see 15-3.
Yeah. I mean, I could see 14-4. I mean, I could see 13-5, you know, because it's
easily see 14-4.
But it's so bad. It's so bad. Now, they did lose at Wichita State last year. I mean,
the problem is 14-4 will hurt you.
Oh, it'll be a killer.
These teams' improved schedule ain't going to hurt you, ain't going to help you enough right now.
Right.
That four losses isn't going to really be a knock on your resume. Four losses in the American can be a knock on your resume. You know, you may not be talking 8-9. You may be talking 11 as the winner of the AAC, as Lenardi and some folks have already had.
Well,
is what I'm saying.
You're not going to perform as well as you did in the non-conference you did a year ago. You're just not.
Likely not. But haven't we kind of been operating on the floors 8-9? You know what I mean? If you win the American, we've kind of at least been there and sort of been feeling safe in that footing. That may not be the case this year.
No question.
And so you go 14-4, it could really damage your chances of 8-9.
I mean, you'd
which
probably
at one point
be in
we
a
thought was the floor.
Situation where you have to win the tournament if you lose four conference games. I mean, it'd be close.
Depending upon who they're to.
Yeah.
Yes, very maybe. You got some real dead weight in there that you lose to. You could really hurt your resume.
I mean, again, like.
You got some quad four opportunity, loss opportunities.
Again, people who didn't read my piece yesterday thought that I was, my whole thing was making Memphis basketball king. It was not that. It was rescue them, save them, put the ladder down so they can climb out of this absolute wretched league they're in when you have 18 games, right? And only one of them is a quad one opportunity. Literally, you are in Fallujah.
Mance.
You are in Fallujah from January to March, and every single step you take is just trying to avoid an IED. That is Memphis basketball's existence in this conference. So it's not about
– That's pressure. It's all high risk, low reward for Penny in conference.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of landmines.
Yeah.
Can't get anything from them. Getting around them.
Yeah.
And, you know, losing to them just can blow up your whole season.
Absolutely. Got one more.
All right, let's go to the recent passing that we found out this morning. And here it is from TMZ and all sorts of places now reporting the death of the great Hulk Hogan, 71, as John alluded to earlier in the show, and we are the, is this the theme, the entrance music, John? Is that what this is?
Yeah, that's his theme music, yep.
Thanks for helping me with that. Hours of Hulk Hogan promos that y'all will watch today. The Linesmiths have set this at 2.5 hours of Hulk Hogan promos with his passing.
Cardiac arrest is the cause of death.
You don't say.
Yeah, which I assume, you know, over the years, right? Over the years of hard living, juicing, whatever the case may be. Yeah, this is it's a complicated one, man. Because
yep.
There's no denying the impact that Hulk Hogan had on professional wrestling. He basically made it. I mean, he turned it from a little, you know, sideshow thing that, you know, rednecks did to it became an American pastime. I mean, he and Andre the Giant and Iron Sheik, I mean, if you were in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s, like that, you, I mean, you grew up on Hulk Hogan and professional wrestling with the leg drop and everything. In many ways, he's the face of professional wrestling, but he was also a bad person. He's a bad person. He was a very racist person. He said some very foul things, you know, on camera, that he was caught on camera saying. When you are in that setting, which I believe he was in his bedroom, he was literally like, you know, doing it with whoever it was. It was pillow talk. That is as true to who you are as possible.
That's facts.
Right? You're literally in bed with your woman and you're talking about it or whatever the case. And we heard the real Hulk Hogan in that audio. And so it's obviously I don't want anybody to die. I wish everybody lived forever. But it's a very complicated thing to talk about because I don't think he lived a straightforward life in that way. So he'll, you know, obviously again, his impact on wrestling will be felt forever. And if we were just keeping it about that, it would be easy. But you know, when you're trying to encapsulate an entire person's fabric and character, I think you have to kind of talk about that and how it stained in many ways his legacy in his later years.
That's it. I mean, it was a stain, but on a legacy that I think overall was positive. Measuring a man by one of his lowest points is a tough thing to do, although you have to account it in the measurement, which you just did.
Yep.
I mean, we have to.
Yep.
However, again, to have it define you, it's sort of what we were talking about with Bedford, you know, last week. You can sit here and ask him all the questions about the time in his life that he was failing, but it's not where he's at right now. And yes, we saw Hulk Hogan very honestly say how he felt about it, you know, in that case. I don't remember all the details, but I remember it being ugly and vile.
Yeah.
From a guy that I had grown up with, and Brad's my age, dude, he was in the cart. We watched him on the cartoon leading the gang. I mean, he was the face of wrestling. He was Thunderlips in Rocky. I mean, what was that, early 80s?
Yeah.
So he was as American get, and it crossed over. But you did. You saw him at a low point, and to come in here and finish on that and say, you know, Matt, it's tough to define a man again by his lowest point. You have to take in everything. And I think the way I would sum it up is it was a stain on what was for the most part a positive overall legacy. Look what he did for wrestling and what he did for guys like, I mean, you can say it or not, but The Rock doesn't have the career that he has. If not for a guy like Hulk Hogan, he'll pave the way.
That's true.
And so I'm sure there are plenty of wrestlers had a problem with him that would say, no, well, he cut me. And plenty that would say he paved the way for me. But the way I would take it all in is, for the most part, the overall picture of him was a positive one. He was a positive influence who, yes, showed us some ugliness. But here's what I'd say to that man. We're all capable of that right there. If you put a camera on all of us, you could probably at some point in our lives catch us saying something. That's not to excuse or absolve what he did or what he said, because I'm with you. That sounded so part of him.
Yep.
That ugly part.
And I mean, he said, I am a racist to a point.
100%. And talked about how he didn't want it, you know, in his family and mixing in and all that. I mean, I had that in my family. You know, my mom's dad, I can openly say that, didn't want that involved and wasn't proud of his grandkids who were mixed.
Right.
Felt that way. And again, don't know him, didn't get to meet him. He's long gone and passed. I can't size up everything about him and his decision not to fool with us. And I'm not going to size up Hulk Hogan in his racism, you know, all of him in that. It was a stain. it makes me feel a certain way about him. I'm sure it clearly makes you feel a certain way about him.
Yeah, I mean, I think
we had to stop on it, but
yeah,
for the most part, man, he was bringing us together. It was pretty cool, and he was the face of wrestling, and he did a lot for a lot of folks.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a nuanced deal, you know, because I think there's a responsibility when you're, you know, that stage, and I mean, he worked with black wrestlers in that locker room every single day, you know.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure there are plenty of black wrestlers that would say, "Man, dude paved the way for me."
Yeah.
You know, I'm just, maybe not, maybe even still, they got a place for him. They held it against him, whatever else. I mean, you had black and white wrestling together, whatever, forever there.
Right.
And I just have to think, if you were evil and despised, you know, people are going to sense that about
right.
you throughout your whole career. This was a part of him. There's no question about it. It's an ugly part of him. But, dude,
and I believe, you know, in the interest of full fairness, I believe he did apologize to the locker room for it.
He 100% did. He went back in there. And I think a lot of people said, I forgive you, you know? And is forgiveness okay anymore? I know it seems
yes.
like all of a sudden we have to mark these guys down and put them in the bad column and put them in a box and say we can't talk about them anymore or talk about any of the good that came out of their careers. Clearly, for some others, they came on his shoulders, you know. And yeah, it is. It's a layered topic, but
yeah.
for the most part,
well, we tackled
his legacy
happily.
Was a positive.
You know,
one,
the interesting thing is, I remembered that story, John. But the thing I remember the most, and I hate talking about a person's sins on their worst day, as Jason pointed out, is the sexual misgivings that he had. Those were, I mean, ridiculously bad.
Yeah, you know, that was all part of the same lawsuit, you know? I don't even remember.
The video
yeah,
and the
I remember
mistress,
there was a video
and it got
yeah.
crazy, dude.
Yeah, no,
but,
I mean, he was, you know.
I just remember being, like, yeah. the biggest wrestler of all time, possibly, right? Is he the biggest ever?
I mean, I think if when you really break it down.
He might be the biggest ever to the mainstream, I would think, right?
I mean,
is
yeah,
he number
I mean,
one?
He definitely is the fake. When you think pro wrestling, you think Hulk Hogan. I mean, we, you know, if you want to say, all right, new generation, you know, today or the 2000, but when you think about when somebody asks you about the WWF, Hulk Hogan is going to be the person that you think of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
that freaking cartoon and WWF magazine and all that. He was always on the front. He was the star of the cartoon.
Yeah.
Now, some of us might think of Coco Beware or Booker T.
Coco was in the cartoon, I want to say, with
him. I'm sure he was, yeah.
I remember that.
And but, Iron Sheik and all that.
But, you know, look, the WWE did induct him into the Hall of Fame even after the comments came to light. So, you know, they made that decision. And I guess they made that after he addressed the locker room. So, you know. I mean, I guess we do have to give people a chance to atone for the things that they
well,
do.
Well, the one thing about getting exposed like that is he had to atone.
Right.
You know, you're
right.
forced to face it.
Yeah.
And you're forced to okay, well, is this you? You know, is this what you're going to represent? Or, no, are you going to apologize and truly from the heart and be sorry for this? And there's a true repentance. You don't get to repentance if there's not the exposure. Maybe perhaps he stays the closet racist that he was.
Right.
Until it's exposed. But what you get out of that, perhaps, I'm not saying it was, but what you get out of it is a changed man, a man who sees the error in his ways. That can happen.
That's right.
People can improve.
They 100%.
They can change and see how they were wrong.
That's right.
For their attitudes or the way, you know, the way they approach things.
That's right.
And you have to give people room for grace.
I agree with that.
So that's why I think ultimately it was positive.
And that's why I did start with the professional wrestling part of it,
yeah.
right? Like, you know, but like someday there's going to be an athlete who passes again, who has a checkered past, a track record, and then we're going to have to do the same thing. It's like, well, he was a great athlete, but he, you know, he had Floyd,
with all his run-ins with the law. We've
yeah,
talked about
yeah,
him,
yeah.
the athlete, and then Floyd the man, and how can you separate those things and
That's
disapprove
right.
of one and
That's
say,
right.
well, there's some greatness in what he's doing here in the boxing
ring. And I think we're forced to do that quite
a
bit.
We are forced. They're,
yeah.
Because none of these guys are perfect in the end.
And we're certainly not either.
No.
Like you said, like if we were all, you know, videotaped and stuff, we would all have things that we're not
but
proud of.
I'll tell you one, the light's only gotten hotter on these athletes when I say how they can be sort of exposed, right? Because now it feels like there's a camera on them all the time. So just this conversation gets me thinking to a guy like LeBron James, who's been under a microscope since his teens and really hasn't gotten caught up in anything, any sort of scandal like this. You understand what I'm
right.
saying? Because we've always had our warts and our feelings.
Yep.
What hasn't been the case is this getting exposed culture that we've got now with the phones and the recordings and everything else. And you just look at a guy like LeBron. I'm not telling you he's perfect at all. But to be able to live under that spotlight like him,
yep,
and come away, man, Jordan, man, they were chasing him to golf courses there for a little while.
Yep.
You know, diving into his gambling and everything else, trying to write books on it, I remember.
Yep.
And for the most part, like, as hot as that lamp's been for LeBron, like, he stayed out of scandal.
Absolutely.
So it's, you know, it is. At some point, you know, your warts can get exposed. In this case, the Hulks did. It stains his legacy, but overall, I think his legacy was a positive one.
Yeah. Rest in peace to Hulk Hogan. 71 years old, cardiac arrest, obviously a very tragic situation there. All right, we'll come back. Drew Hill's going to join us. We'll talk to him about the offseason for the Grizzlies and more. Stick around. Jason and John.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
China Fam ESPN. Drew Hill covers Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. Joins us every single Thursday, and he joins us now. So you're officially finally in your off season, huh?
I guess so. I guess this is considered my off season, although my life has not slowed down one bit. But yeah, I guess technically this is the off season, isn't it?
Yeah.
And by the way, first week of the off season, John, and you and I nailed it last week. We nailed it last week on the PJ Hall thing.
Now, only one of us had an inkling. I was just watching summer league basketball and concurred with the addition of PJ Hall. Seems like you had been hearing some rumblings about his addition.
Well, here's the thing about that is that you were the one that pushed it forward, right?
Oh, I definitely pushed it forward.
I just kind of threw it in the air and said, look, you know, there's not a ton of summer league options. I don't think there's anybody with all that great of stats, but here's a guy. And then you were like, no, this is the guy. You said, this is the guy. PJ Hall is the next, you know, Dennis Rodman. And
Country Boy Rodman.
You said he's a future Hall of Famer, and the Grizzlies need to sign him right now. And so that's what I might have said something
along the lines of, like, he would be better than McNay and Baycott, like no questions asked, like better than anybody they had. So and clearly they came to that same conclusion. Although some would say, like, if he was so good, why wasn't he starting for the Hornets summer league team, which is a fair criticism, maybe.
Yeah, and I did look into that a little bit, and I think maybe it was like the Hornets had other guys that they wanted to see. So maybe that's why he didn't start. But in the end, he's like a pretty big mystery, right? Because he didn't play a ton. He never played more than 8 minutes in a Nuggets game last year. And he didn't get to play the garbage minutes at the end of the season because the Nuggets were fighting for playoff positioning all the way through the end. And then you factor in the fact that he has great G League stats, but didn't play a ton in the G League either. And, like, I mean, the stats are pretty comparable to, like, what Bacot did in the G League. So, like, we know the G League doesn't necessarily always translate to the NBA. So he's a bit of a mystery. I mean, the one thing that he, like, has a proven track record of is rebounding because he's got better than a 20% defensive rebound rate, like, at every single level, G League, Summer League, NBA, which that's not a totality statistic, but just a minutes you're on the floor, what percentage of your team's rebounds are you getting? And he's getting a high percentage of them. So, you know, I think that in terms of trying to find somebody that can rebound a basketball, like a breaking case of emergency sort of player, you know, then you found the right guy, you know, you found the right guy.
Would you say this is the most positive development for the Grizzlies of Summer League, if we're looking back on the, and including Utah if we want to, and just the whole thing, most positive development?
Oh, man. I mean, there's not a ton that I'm taking away feeling great about, Jason, for being honest. But I think that the most positive development was just an opportunity to get Isolo there around some of the players that are going to be on the main roster. And as he said, you know, getting a trial run at sort of operating things the way he wants to operate them and getting a feel for how to press buttons of, you know, certain guys and how they can sort of respond to his coaching. So I think, honestly, that was what was first and foremost. But in terms of individual player performances, like Jalen Wells had good stats, but wasn't super efficient. And I was on last week with John, and I don't care about that at all, really. Yeah. I don't think it matters all that much. You know, Gigi had good moments, but also had moments where he looked young. I think it was encouraging that he's saying the right things about his future, but he's still got to follow up on that as we get to the regular season. So I don't want to go too far ahead on that. I don't know. I mean, Cam Spencer kind of looked exactly how we thought Cam Spencer would look. Meshack, impressed. I mean, maybe you go there, maybe you go with Meshack, but I don't know if there's one thing in particular that really stands out. I think the most useful thing for them was just starting that coaching technique and sort of figuring out the flow of things for Isolo.
So in terms of, you know, how we calibrate, you know, this Grizzlies, you know, off season and preseason and sort of, you know, the landscape moving forward. Like, you know, once upon a time, all right, they're the two seed. They're, you know, it's home court. Like, come back, be a home court team. Is now the goal just, like, even be a play-in team? I mean, like, where is the line for the Grizz?
I think that the goal is to show that you still – I mean, before we even talk playoffs, before we get to – April, let's get to December, right? I think that the goal, first and foremost, is to still feel good about, you know, the two stars that you have in place in Ja and Jaren, that building the right team around them is going to get you to a point where you can, you know, once again compete in the West. So I think there's like a blurry, not black and white, as or at least not as black and white as like be the number six seed line there, like a line of prove it, a prove it line that this team really needs to pass, I think, in order to feel good about it. And that's actually going to come probably before the start of the playoffs. But then when you look at the playoffs and like where this team can be, like, I think if all goes well, right, then if all goes well, you still don't view them as a top two or three team in the West. Like, you, if all goes well, you probably view them as 4, 5, 6, like in that range. So I think that's probably, you know, that's the bar, right? That's what you're shooting for as you're going to start the season. I don't think you're shooting for number one. I mean, if we're being realistic here, the Grizzlies aren't going to tell you that. They're going to say they're trying to win the championship. But I think if we're taking a big picture look at this, that's really where things are. But I don't know. Don't you feel like there's some there are going to be tests to pass as the season goes along, and it's not just going to be as, you know, point blank as be it make it in the playoffs this year. Like, I feel like in January, late December, we're going to know if this team is, you know, competitive enough to be in that mix, and if they finish the season strong, can be there, or if we're going to be saying, I think this team's further away, and I'm wondering what we need to do in terms of figuring out our future. I feel like that moment's going to come, you know, well prior to the playoffs.
A little bit of a different topic, but not one I've asked you about, Drew, and I'm curious where you are on it and how concerned we should be. The mayor had talked about hoping right at the end of that, by the end of summer, to get this, you know, lease deal done with the Grizzlies. And yet, you know, it's not up until the end of the 28-29 season. And so you've still got four more years. Now, you know it better than anybody. We have no idea, you know, what the Grizzlies still want, if they're satisfied, what's still on the list or whatever else. We just know the mayor came out and told your colleague, Sam Hardiman, that, you know, yeah, probably going to be a little, going to be past that. I don't think put any kind of timeline on after that. Just how concerned, Drew, or unconcerned should we be about this getting done? It sort of got, and Hardiman talked about it, one of the reasons why I wanted to ask you. Hardiman talked about it and how that report was sort of tied to, and especially on social media where people have a tendency to go, you know, go a little extreme anyway, but it was so tied to, it got tied to some of those, you know, non-expansion talks or Silver saying, hey, we have to go back and look at this. And so I'm curious where you're at on this and how concerned we should be.
I mean, I think that the city is going to need to do the most in order to keep the team in Memphis. Like, I do think that there's a middle ground that needs to be met. And obviously this is something that they're working on. Like, I haven't heard anything in terms of like something's imminent, right? Like, I think the Grizzlies have basically tried to avoid that. You know, that's not like, I don't think that that's something that I'm necessarily worried about in terms of at this particular moment. But I do think, you know, as we move closer to it, you mention it, like, that's why people are uneasy about it, mm-hmm. right? Because you just, I don't think there's been any clear signaling yet that the Grizzlies have said, yeah, we're ready to just go. Like, I think that they want to be here and in the community. And, you know, everybody has sort of tried to report as best as possible about everything that's happening downtown and the sort of improvements that the Grizzlies and the state have tried to come together on to try to make happen, and the Grizzlies and the city need to agree upon in order to keep the team here. And so maybe this is a little bit of word salad and I don't have a perfect answer for it, but like, am I worried about it yet? No. Do I think that there needs to get a deal done? Yes. Like, I think that they need this is something that they need to absolutely work out. Is it a little concerning that it's not happening this summer? I suppose so. But it's not all lost, right? But I think if we start hearing word that they're too far apart, mm-hmm. as it gets closer, that's when I think everybody will really panic. But for now, there's still a little bit of time, and there's time to work these things out. And I'm certainly not going to sit on here and pretend like I'm sort of some sort of expert within the city. Like, Sam does such an incredible job of covering all that stuff for us, and I mostly try to stay out of Sam's way and keep to the basketball parts of the Memphis Grizzlies, just because he does such a good job. But I haven't heard anything from somebody that's like got me alarmed yet. So
right, okay.
Until that happens, I'm not gonna do it. Yeah.
I just don't understand why the city wouldn't just. I mean, I not to be graphic, but bend over. I don't really know what options that the municipality has, because if they lose the Grizzlies, they can any hopes and dreams and ambitions they had of this thing turning into something else will go with them. So, you know, I don't think the ball is necessarily in the city's court. So, anyway, I won't have you answer unless you have something to say.
Right. And like the only thing I'll add here is like, I hear what you're saying, John, but, and it would feel like such a spiritual loss to lose the Grizzlies. I've had interesting conversations with people that just don't agree with me in terms of like economic impact of sports franchises, who will tell you like, you know, it doesn't matter quite as much as you would think that there's an NBA team, but doesn't it just feel like the spirit of Memphis is so connected to the biggest thing it feels like?
Well, I mean, I would say to that person, I would say to that person, losing a pro team in a pro city can be negligible. Losing the pro team in a pro city, I think, is where, you know, when you go from being a professional city to a non-professional city, that's the economic study that I want to see. Like, what's Oakland going to look like now that the Raiders and the Athletics are gone, right? My guess is not great.
Yeah. I mean, Oakland still does have the Giants and everybody else right over the bridge, but that's a different situation. You know, like Oakland and San Francisco are so close together. You know, Memphis and Nashville are not close together. Like, you know,
right.
No one's saying that the Titans are having any economic impact on the city of Memphis. Clearly they aren't. So like, you know, that's a little different. Like, I don't know if there's a good example to your point. Like, I don't know if there would be a good example. And it just does feel like that would be bad. I mean, we shouldn't just sit here and play doomsday. Like, I don't think that's the right thing to do. But it is something that's definitely top of the mind and important.
Yeah, it would be it'd be pretty brutal. Hey, speaking of, you know, you do cover the basketball piece of it. So we have PJ Hall on a two-way. We have Javon Small on a two-way. And there's still that third one. We assume it would go to Jemai Meshach, but I have not seen any news on that. Is there any reason for that?
I think that if you're going to look at the state of the Grizzlies roster, they don't have to do anything right now. Like, they don't necessarily have to push a player into that two-way spot. Now, who deserves it coming out of Summer League? I don't know how you would say anybody but Jemai Meshach. But I just think you also have to just look at the makeup of the roster and sort of understand the situation that they're in. They signed PJ Hall because, you know, if Jaren's not ready for the start of the season, and it sounds like, you know, that's going to be a close call, like he's going to be on the tail end of his recovery there as the start of the season's approaching. And then we don't expect Zach Edey to be ready. You know, even with PJ Hall, that leaves you essentially four bigs, right? And that's not a ton of traditional bigs available. And there's potential for injuries anywhere on the roster. So, like, I've probably been asked this so many times. It's just like, why haven't they done Meshach yet? Why haven't they done Meshach yet? And I don't think it's because there's, like, a hesitation to give it to Meshach. I think he's proved it. I think they probably want to just get through the end of this lull where players are going to be training on their own and, like, see what the roster makeup is going to look like, because who knows, like, they've already now had to add a big into a two-way spot out of necessity. Like, is there another position that they're going to need to add out of necessity, and is that going to impact the last two-way contract? I suppose that could be the case. So I don't think it reflects anything on Meshach that he hasn't been signed yet. I just think that if I were them, I don't know that this is what they're doing, but if I were them, I would probably be waiting and seeing if there's anything I need before I just go ahead and have him put pen to paper and he's on the deal.
Drew, we know what Ben Johnson's goal is for Caleb Williams. We know what Caleb Williams' goals are for himself. What is Drew Hill's goal for Caleb Williams this season?
I would love to see him get to 4,000 passing yards. I mean, that would be a big deal. I'd love to see the Bears be close to 500, 8-9 or 9-8. I would probably say is a pretty good season if you look at the schedule. 10 wins would be an excellent season. So, I mean, my goal for Caleb Williams is just to look like the guy, look like an NFL quarterback, look like he's comfortable in Ben Johnson's offense, and look like he's learning something, because last year it just felt like such a lost cause because he just, you know, he never looked – He never looked fully comfortable with the coaching staff. Everything sort of looked off center, off page all the time. And, like, if you've been reading some or listening to the reporting out of Bears camp to start, like, yesterday was the first day. Apparently, he had a pretty rough day.
Yeah, had to be
Ben
benched.
Johnson was on him big time.
Had to go back down to the foundation.
I wanted to learn from that.
Yeah.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states. You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.